Welcome to Res Talk, your source for the latest insights, trends, news, and resources from leaders in the building performance and rating world. Here's your host, a committed building science enthusiast and registered professional engineer, and the podfather of energy efficiency, Bill Spohn.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Res Talk podcast. It's our goal here at Res Talk to communicate late-breaking news and thoughtful insights about the vast array of topics in the rapidly expanding world of residential energy ratings to all the stakeholders in the ResNet ecosystem. So whether you're a housing consumer, rater, builder, realtor, or appraiser, you want to hear more about the evolving trends in home energy ratings. In today's podcast, we cover the topic of advocacy and public policy in the context, of course, of the residential energy sector. And we learn from our guest, Robert Pegues, who's general manager of technical delivery at US Ecologic and also a ResNet board member, and Carl Chidlow, a lobbyist that represents ResNet. Robert shares his background in this sector, highlighting his experience at last year's policy forum and his involvement with regional and national energy councils. Carl provides insights into ResNet's efforts to engage with policymakers through the ResNet Policy Forum, emphasizing the importance of practitioner involvement in the legislative processes and the positive outcomes that come from bipartisan support on issues like the 45L tax credit and VA home loans. The conversation touches on the practical and personal aspects of participating in such an event, with Robert sharing his initial apprehensions and eventual satisfaction from influencing policy and advocating for industry concerns. Both Carl and Robert encourage listeners to participate in future policy forums, highlighting the opportunity to affect change and the foundational American right to petition the government. In the episode links and the show note links, we include links to Robert's LinkedIn profile, Carl's LinkedIn profile, and a link to the 2024 policy forum. Okay, let's get into the conversation with Robert and Carl talking about energizing change, advocates power up policy at the ResNet Policy Forum. Today, we have a great topic, and it's a new topic. Not really new, but a new execution of the topic. We have with us a couple guests, and I'm going to introduce them. First, Robert Pegues. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you.
And we also have Carl Chidlow. Carl, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Carl's somewhat of a familiar voice here, so I'm going to first give the mic over to Robert to give us some of his background and how he ties into the topic at hand. Please, Robert.
Thanks, Bill. Like I said, my name is Robert Pegues. I'm the GM of technical delivery at US Ecologic. We're directly integrated providership and third-party provider. I've had a really interesting opportunity to speak at the policy forum. I think my experience as a ResNet board of director, lead QAD and faculty, and also North Central Texas Council of Government, RCCC, member, and then a newly appointed SDC 1550. So that's kind of my background in a nutshell.
Carl, give us an overview for the listeners of what you're up to.
Thanks, Bill. Again, Carl Chidlow. I'm a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. I've been representing ResNet for about 11 years. This is our first time attempting a widely attended policy conference. So happy to tell the listeners a little bit about what we're trying to accomplish.
That's the main topic at hand here, the 2024 ResNet Policy Forum. Can you give us an overview, Carl, of where the idea, what the genesis was for this, and what the plans are?
The idea actually emerged from the board of directors. There had been several meetings over that decade I mentioned where it's just myself and then Steve Baden, the executive director, doing targeted outreach to the tax writing committees, focusing on 45L renewal and other things. But there was a real interest from the board in trying to get actual practitioners up to the Capitol Hill and really expand our network. So last year, and Robert can talk more about his experience, but we had all members of the board of directors here in Washington, D.C. We did the meetings and the paperwork and the votes that are needed to keep the organization running. But the second day, we dispatched up to Capitol Hill, and everybody met with their two senators and their member of Congress. It was a bipartisan effort, and we had, I think we covered about 12 states, which was great, and we really dug in on certain issues. 45L had just been It was part of the Biden environmental package, and we really got what we wanted. So it was a little bit of a celebratory effort, but we also reinforced how this policy was going to impact the industry and other matters. We also socialized an issue with the VA, which I can cover more later in the broadcast, the Veterans Administration. So we had a couple of talking points, and we did the meetings and collected the business cards and sold the message. After that, the board was really stoked, excited. So Steve Baden and the team, we decided to really blow this out in a good way. So we're hoping to have about 100, maybe 150 participants this year. People can get their credits towards ResNet accreditations to participate, but we're going to spend an entire day on Capitol Hill and hope to have probably about 200, 250 meetings. That's a good percentage of the Congress, and we'll hopefully make some friends and do a lot of public education in the process.
Excellent. And I will include a link in the show notes to the page on the ResNet site. And if listeners, if you just want to note, it's resnet.us/2024-policy-forum. And the date for that is May 1st and 2nd, the way it's shown on the site. The venue is the Madison Hotel. I guess that's where people will group and gather together in Washington.
Yeah, it's the same venue we used last year. It's really nice. It's right in the heart of downtown. We'll have transportation provided. If this is a good time, I can talk about the structure of the conference, or we can save that for later.
That's good. Why don't you go into that?
So on May 1st, we're going to gather at the Madison Hotel, and we've got speakers lined up from all of the agencies that impact the industry. The Veterans Affairs Administration, the EPA speaker from DOE. We've got the White House representative who's tracking carbon capture. We've got representatives from Fannie Mae, USDA, the Department of Agriculture. And then we're going to have some industry spokespeople as well. The lead lobbyist for the Leading Builders of America is on the dais, as well as one of our board members from the insulation manufacturers. So we're not just going to send people loose. We're going to do some tutorials and prep for those who are participating, and our firm is going to handle all of the logistics. So we really just need people to show up and be ready to advocate to their government officials. And it really does have an impact. And that might be a good segue to Robert and his experience last year.
Sure. Thank you, Carl. Yes, Robert. One thought I have is, for some people, this might be unnatural, but for some people, you get drawn into it. What was it for you?
Yeah, it's interesting how I found myself in this situation. I would not at all say it was natural for me. I looked up, I called my wife the morning of, and I said, how did I get here and what am I doing here? I'm here at the White House talking with representatives and what's happening. But the whole forum, the way that it was set up, what Steve, Cardise, and Carl all did together in briefing us, giving us some pointers and some talking points, helping us understand context and what we were going to be doing more broadly, I was able to calm down quite a bit, get my feet below me, and then just realize we're just talking about things that are in our industry that are important to us and communicating those to decision makers. And it was a great opportunity to find my own voice, so to speak, and how we can affect good change.
What was the reception? You went to your senator's and congressperson's office. How did that go?
It went well. Like I said, I wasn't sure about what the reception would be. I was talking to Senator Cruz, Senator Cornyn, and Congressman Elzey's staffers. I wasn't sure what the reception would be, but I found that it was a pretty open reception. Some of the talking points that we had were VA home loans, 45L, and I think as it boils down, those are pretty bipartisan issues if you really look at it. I'm a veteran myself. I know Congressman Elzey was in the Navy. He's also a veteran. And so there was some commonality there. And I believe it's really important for all veterans to be able to have access to home ownership. And I think most people in government would agree with that. And then 45L is another way for home ownership to be ubiquitous for lower energy usage, which leads to resiliency. And so it was a matter of how do we communicate that to all of the different representatives.
And your first visit there was in last fall at this smaller event?
It was about a year ago.
About a year ago. So, okay. So,
It was spring of last year is when we had the event.
And what was the outcome of that? Has there been engagement going forward with the people you met with at this new policy forum?
Yeah, absolutely. So I met with Congressman Elsey's staffers. The staffer I met with, his name was Owen. He was a very nice guy. He was young, but he was very receptive. Found that at the very end, I invited him to come out to our facility, to tour the facility. And Congressman Elsey took us up on it. And later that year, he and some of his staffers came and toured our facility. Our executive vice president, Eric Johnson, was able to give him that tour. And after reaching back out to them earlier this year, they have agreed to come and speak at the ResNet Policy Forum. So we're going to be privileged to have Representative Elsey's and his staffers speak at the Policy Forum, which is pretty huge.
Fantastic.
So Jake Elsey's an up-and-comer in Congress. He's a Republican. And some folks might think some of these environmental issues might fall on deaf ears with some Republicans, but I think the approach we took it with his office and with all offices is this is about economic development and housing affordability. And those are issues that cut across the aisle and ideologies. The other thing about Elsey, which is great, is he happens to be on the very powerful Appropriations Committee, which is the organization that writes the checks to the agencies. They have a lot of ability to influence policy through their doling out of resources. And it's just great new recruits, so to speak, into our cadre of friends on Capitol Hill.
So this event, Carl, sounds like you've been through this before. Can you sort of like lay out the logistics for anyone considering attending?
The first day, like I mentioned, will be this battery of speakers. Again, we're getting folks from the White House, DOE, EPA, all the agencies that matter to our industry, and they're coming to us, which is great. So we'd love to have a huge turnout and not just dozens, but hopefully 100 or more people. So please sign up as soon as you can. The following day, we're going to dispatch folks to Capitol Hill. They'll have an itinerary. They'll have a guide or a state captain that'll make sure they know where to go. The meetings are usually about 15 minutes. And as Robert said, they're usually with someone half your age. But these are really smart folks who are very specialized. The term in DC is subject matter experts. And the good thing about these meetings, at the end of the day, the staffer will sit down and write up a memo. These are the six meetings I did today, and here's who they were with, and here's what they wanted to talk about, and then make recommendations up the chain of command. So this isn't just something that happens in a void. This is noted and calculated into their thought process when they get ready to vote. And constituents matter. Lobbyists are, we're all over town, and people take us with a grain of salt. But when a constituent comes in and is willing to, on their own dime, fly into town and make the appointment and spend the time talking about it, that's what really rings the bell here in Washington. So as you mentioned, we do this quite a bit for a lot of our clients. This is the first time we've really ramped it up for ResNet. So we'd love to have a good showing. We're going to make it incredibly easy. There may be some jitters and nerves, but authenticity sells. You don't want to come across like a movie actor. You know, you want to come across as a business owner. And what's keeping you up at night? What can the government do to help you? What can the government not do to get in your way? So these things matter, and they matter when they're coming from the mouths of the voters, the constituents. So there is no substitute for this. You can hire hundreds of lobbyists, but this is the most effective way to do it. So we really hope that folks will take the time. We'll make it real easy on you. It's going to be a nice time of year. And this is what all industry groups do. They fly in their doctors, or they fly in the anesthesiologists, or they fly in the road contractors. It's everybody comes and does this. It's a ritual, but they do it because it works. And we're going to cover far and wide, and we're going to be in front of the agencies that regulate us and matter to us. So I might be overselling it, but it's a worthwhile thing to do, and you'll enjoy it. You might be nervous, but when the meetings click and you see their facial expressions and you see them nodding and they're taking notes, you know you've done it the right way. So inviting you all to come.
Very good. So you said something there, Carl, which I want to reflect on to Robert, is it's normal for industry groups, but it might not be normal for you. So Robert, it sounded like you were a little bit of shock and awe that first time, but if you're speaking to someone who's considering this or just can't comprehend the idea, what preparation do you need to do? What mental preparation do you need?
I think that's a good question. So I wasn't sure what to expect. I'm sure those that are considering attending and participating likely don't know what to expect either. And I think that's totally normal. I said at the ResNet conference when we spoke about this before that I had a connotation about what lobbyists were, and it felt strange to me. The whole thing felt a little bit surreal. But Carl said something that I think was really important, is that a lobbyist is somebody who speaks on the behalf of an issue, and it's the issues that are important. And I think the message that we have in the ResNet and HERS community is a message that's important. Once I was able to contextualize that, it was much easier for me to go, okay, I know what I'm doing here, and I just need to speak. I did a little bit of preparation in finding out who the representatives were, where we were going to be meeting, and some of the logistics, things like that. But other than that, what's important to me, what's important to my personal values within this industry, and just try to communicate those in the most authentic way. I think that came across. I hope it did. And that's my intent for this next go around as well.
Very good.
I would just jump in. You guys in the industry, you guys are making sales calls all the time. You're meeting with customers. You're meeting with suppliers. And I would just view, yes, it seems very daunting walking into the vaulted halls of Congress, but think of it as a sales call. Congress makes the laws that impact your industry, and it's time to sell it back to them. This is how we fit into the economy. There's jobs at stake, and it's just treat it as a sales call. I'm not dumbing it down, but you guys advocate for your business all the time, whether it's getting new customers or whatever it is, but just treat it like a sales call. And do that kind of prep and exude confidence. The one thing I will caution, Congress can be fickle, and we do have an election coming up in November, and things could shift from the current status quo. So it's important to talk about the issues that really matter, like 45L. It was an initiative of a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, but it could have a target on its back if things shift one way or the other. So we're there to reinforce the importance of the issue that matters the most, so that when people are making hay 6 months from now or a year from now, they don't throw 45L into the thresher. You can put some protection around it because it's got this constituent backing. Voters in your district care about this. It's not just an arcane rule in the IRS textbook. So it's calling it out, calling out the importance, and insulating it and protecting it from whatever happens in the future, which I can't predict.
Can I just jump into that? I'm out of Irving, Texas, and there's a lot of influx and growth in Texas, especially in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And to talk about what Carl spoke about on the bipartisan issue and administrations possibly staying the same or changing or whatever the case may be, there's a lot that's up in the air. I think branding and the words that we use matter. Carl touched on it a little bit before, but it doesn't necessarily just have to be an energy efficiency and environmental issue. It's also an issue on economics. It's also an issue of resiliency. In Texas, we had an ice storm a couple years ago that was pretty rough, pretty devastating for a lot of people to go without power for so long. 45L and other programs like that can help ensure that issues like that don't continue to occur or occur much less. That's important for both Democrats, Republicans, and everybody in between. And so it's important, the language that we use, and realizing really at the core of it, these are bipartisan issues. So just wanted to speak on that as well.
That's a great way of conveying it. It's not just energy and the environment. Economics and resiliency too. It's about housing. That's one of the basic things of human needs.
Absolutely.
So that should tie in. It'd be bipartisan. Thank you. I appreciate the coverage we've given to the topic, and I'd like to give you both a chance to recap before we give the listeners back their ears. And first, I'll go to Carl.
Bill, thanks for doing this. Robert, it's great to see you again or hear your voice again. Yeah, just May 1st and 2nd, circle it. Mark it on your calendar. check the flights. The hotel's already booked, so you don't have to make a hotel reservation. And again, like I said, we're going to make it pretty turnkey. You'll have your talking points. You'll be briefed. You'll know where to go. The appointments will already be set and made for you, so you don't have to call your member of Congress and tell them that you're coming. We'll do that all for you. So it's going to be very turnkey is the way I want you to imagine it. And yeah, the thing about policy is sometimes the status quo is what you want. And we got a really good bill with 45L. We got a 10-year tax credit for the first time in the history. And we want to preserve that. We also are working real hard with the Veterans Administration. We got policy into a bill a couple years ago, and they're standing up a task force to work on some calculations for energy use in the VA loan mortgage process. And that's a pretty significant step forward. So if we can get that baked into the VA system, then that's going to migrate to all the other federal programs and hopefully be the law of the land at some point. So there's stuff to do. There's people to talk to. And the thing about Washington, D.C. is if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And if you don't show up, nobody heard you. It's like a tree falling in the woods. So please show up. We'll make it easy on you. And then let me hand it over to Robert.
Thank you, Colonel. Robert, please.
Yeah. Just taking a step back. It's a pretty fantastic opportunity. It really is. I think it's probably outside of a lot of people's comfort zones, as it was mine. But it's one of those things you go into and do, and at the other side of it, you're glad you did it. It's a fantastic opportunity. You're able to have a voice, speak on the things that are important to you, to your community, to your industry. And then you also get to walk a museum and walk DC and speak to like-minded people and people that think differently than you. So I would encourage that anybody who's on the fence to highly consider to checking it out, to giving it a chance, and just jump into the opportunity.
Excellent. You never know until you try.
Absolutely.
Bill, one last thing. I play this card too often, but in our documents, the Founding Fathers, they included a provision that said that all citizens have the right to petition their government for the redress of grievances. Now, we don't have a grievance. I think that's more of an artful term of the 18th century. But we have this right, and that's what makes America unique. So again, cherish that and take advantage of it. And if you don't like it, don't do it again. But my guess is that Robert did it once, and he's coming back for more. So you might have the same experience. But anyway, think about the Founding Fathers. They wanted you to do this. This isn't untoward or illegal. This is very legal. It's in the Constitution. So have at it.
Very good. And listeners cannot see Robert smiling. He just gave a big smile. So this is great. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me this morning on the Res Talk podcast. And listeners, take heed and get involved. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Res Talk podcast. If you're a pro in the building market, surf on over to resnet.us/professional. To learn more or join the email list. You can also find ResNet on Facebook or Twitter. A quote for today, this is by an unknown author. Advocacy is the mirror reflecting the voices of the community into the corridors of power. If you want to feedback to ResNet on what you heard here today, or like to hear a new topic covered, or just have a general question, please send an email to info@resnet.us. If you've not subscribed to this podcast, please consider doing so. And as always, thank you for listening to Res Talk. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Res Talk podcast. This podcast is hosted by Bill Spohn, produced by William P. Spohn, LLC, and is a production of ResNet, the Residential Energy Services Network. The best way to listen to this podcast is to subscribe on an iPhone using the podcast app, or on an Android device by downloading the Stitcher app and searching for Res Talk. We would appreciate a review on iTunes or on the podcast app. This will help others find the show. We look forward to talking again soon on Res Talk.